Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We got the Yanks game 3 coming up tonight. Obviously, game 2 last night, a huge win for the Yankees, taking advantage of the Red Sox mistakes. These two games have been great. They have been tight. And we've been dissecting the thought of what would be a Yankee lineup for tonight's all-important game 3. Schlittler, obviously, versus their rookie pitcher as well. So a lefty pitcher. So that's going to impact how the Yankees go about their lineup. But we're just reading something during the break. Andy Martino of SNY TV, SNY.TV has the article. He was saying that while he hasn't seen the lineup, he believes, based on his knowledge and information, that the Yankees are going to start Rice at first base tonight and also have Wells at catcher because of his ability to call a game, which, look, that's Andy's opinion based on his info. We were talking about that earlier. I think that that's what the Yankees should do. I'm not sold that that's what Boone is going to do. I still feel like they're going to find a way to get Goldschmidt in the lineup against the lefties.
Yeah, I was reading that during the break. It's interesting. I mean, there's so many things here. First of all, the Yanks got to start hitting, and that's part of the roster or the lineup construction tonight. There's tough calls. I mean, Stanton really looks lost, but he's been big for this team, and I know he's got a lot of respect. So while I would sit him, and I think that they could, I mean, that's something to look forward to here. I mean, Ben Rice, he's a mess at first base, and these have been two low-scoring games so far. So, you know, if it's a pick in the dirt, a 3-6-3 double play, a cut situation where you're trying to get somebody at home, I don't have a lot of confidence in with the leather. With the bat, I certainly do. And the other thing, too, you know, we've said, obviously, a few times that clearly, Cam Schlittler is pitching tonight, but I got to tell you, I am really excited to see him pitch, dude. There are young pitchers that come along. Now, we just went through this with the Mets, like Sproat and like Tong, and they flashed. And then there's young pitchers that come along like McClain and like Schlittler, who look different. And this kid, I mean, he's from Boston. His entire family is a Red Sox family. Of course, they've converted now. He is long. He is lean. He is whippy. He is explosive. He's got stones. Like, I would be, I don't want to put too much burden on the kid, but I would be surprised if Schlittler, whenever he walks off the mound tonight, doesn't author a pretty special first playoff game for him.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I like him as a pitcher. Young kid, has had a very good season. I just feel like the Yankees' bats are going to have to do it. You alluded to it. We talked about this earlier. In case you missed it, check out on the free Odyssey app. I don't think it's going to come down to whether or not Cam Schlittler is doing his job. I mean, outside of him getting lit up, I don't think that that's going to be the case. I also don't think you're going to see seven scoreless, dominant innings, seven innings, one run from him. I think you're going to kind of see somewhere in between, like what we saw with Rodon last night. Good enough to win, or at the very least keep the Yankees in the ballgame. The question is going to be the offense. Just trying to pull up Schlittler's game log here. Has he faced Boston yet this year, BT?
That's a good question. He had a 13 or 14. I would think he did once.
Yeah. I'm trying to see what he did. And again, I just don't like this Red Sox lineup. I like the Yankees. Like, he has not faced Boston here.
None, huh? Okay.
Just according to my quick math, looking at it. Baltimore a couple times, Minnesota, Toronto, Detroit. I do not believe so.
Okay.
Anyway, so look, this is going to be a different animal, too. Like, he could be great in the regular season. There's a reason why rookies. Now, the good thing is that the Yankees are at home, and they're facing another rookie. So stuff could be good, and they could have great potential. But there's a big difference when you set foot on that mound in Yankee Stadium, especially as an opponent. The pressure of an elimination game, like, it's game 3, so it doesn't feel the same as game 7, but it might as well be a game 7. That's really what it is, an elimination game, the ultimate game. That's different, man. So you could throw out anything that happened before, any of the numbers, and when you're factoring in rookies, guys who haven't been proven before, sometimes this moment is too big for guys who have been established for years, let alone rookies. We'll see what both these guys are made of, but ultimately I think it's going to come down to the Yankee lineup and how many runs they score tonight.
And Sal, we've seen it go both ways. I mean, you know, again, a million years ago, but Andy Pettitte in 96 World Series gave up two home runs to Andrew Jones. They got drilled, I think it was 12 or 13-1, and he wasn't a rookie. But, you know, he was eaten up by a good team, and by that stage, you never really truly know. And then, of course, Pettit just gave you a million gems along the way. I'm just pointing out that one rough spot. No matter how good you are, it could happen. I remember telling you, and I remember texting Susan, I heard the Schlittler interview, and I also heard an interview with the scout that found both Schlittler and Ben Rice, because Ben Rice went to Dartmouth, Schlittler up from the New England area as well. And Now, I don't know what his final stat's going to be, but why I've got supreme confidence he's not going to be nervous or overwhelmed. First of all, I listened to the kid talk, and his dad's, you know, police captain up there, blue collar, just, you know, he just sounded, even before he made his first start, very much in control. And I think the physical gifts are fairly obvious. I think what's less detectable, you got to watch him literally every pitch to kind of get a sense that he's got the right makeup, and now you got to show it. Everybody's watching. Let's go.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Chris is calling from Belleville, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? I want to ask you a question about the crowd last two games. But first, if it's me, this is game 7. You got to have Goldschmidt's glove at first. I got to have Rice at DH. Stanton's looked awful. And I'm okay because Stanton's been really good pinch hitter this year. So he's a boom or bust guy. So I'd rather wait for him in a spot where we might need him later in the game. I can't afford for him to go 0-for-4, clogging up the base pass. I want Rice in there. That's my move.
Okay. Okay.
The other question I had is, what the hell is the deal with Marlins, man? I see this guy every game behind home plate. I don't know if he's a Yankee hater or I mean, these tickets must be over $1,000 a ticket. What? Why the hell do I got to see Marlins, man, behind the plate of every Yankee playoff game?
Here's what he is. He's an attention getter, and thanks for the call, Chris, and we'd all be better off just ignoring him. You see him at these games, whatever it is, Met game, Yankee,
World Series.
There was a point where it was annoying me. Now I don't even see him.
Like, no.
I just ignore it.
I saw Bobby Bacala there last night, still riding that Sopranos wave of fame.
Was Spike there last night, or was that the night before? Spike,
I think it was the night before.
Okay,
game 1.
Yeah, Spike was there. I did see Bobby Bacala last night.
No, Janice, though. Janice was not there.
She was not there?
Not a bad move, leaving our home.
Trying to turn the ball. Well, whatever, his real-life version of Janice, I'm sure, was there.
Yeah.
But don't pay any attention to him, Marlins, man. Who gives a crap?
I couldn't care less.
Good God, come on, man. It's game 3. We're talking about Marlins, man? Talk about the Yankees. I think it's interesting, BT, that you and our last caller, Chris, can both say that you'd have Stanton out of the lineup. Look, I'm not a huge Giancarlo Stanton fan. I just don't like the way that he limits what you can do with your lineup, with your ball club. I know he's a terrific individual, accountable, great New York. Some people think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't. Whatever it may be. I have a hard time sitting Giancarlo Stanton in October against the lefty. You want to tell me nasty righty? Different story. And I know when he's in a funk, when he's on a heater, he'll hit anybody and be as hot as can be. When he's in a funk, he looks as awful as can be.
Yep.
I can't. I mean, it was just as hot as anything going into the postseason here. It's two games and it's against a lefty. There's no way I'd have Stanton out of the lineup.
He cooled down a little bit toward the end of the season. He had that real massive heater where he was just incredible. Then he cooled down a little bit. He hasn't picked it back up. See, the problem with somebody like Stanton is that, and this has been said, obviously, he's just bringing nothing else to the table.
Yeah.
And you know, there are guys, like, even when Judge is in a funk, and he's not in one now, but even when he is, he still gives you competitive deep at-bats. When Stanton is on the wrong side of his swing, he's out in 3-4 pitches. It's good morning, good afternoon, good night, let's go, next. And if he hits, you know, a rocket at somebody, or even just a moderately hard hit ball, I mean, you know it's a double play with guys on base. He's not scoring from first on a double. There's no guarantee he's scoring from second on a single. Now, as I say all this, he's got zero value defensively. As I say all this, he probably will play tonight. And, you know, maybe mash a two-run bomb that has 117 exit velo. Very capable. He just doesn't look like he's ready to do anything positive.
All right, no, I get
Swings
it.
Swings are gross.
I get it. You and I have had this conversation for literally years.
Yeah, I know.
About neither of us wanting him on the team. It's not because he's a bad guy or we don't believe in the power. It's just the way that you build a ball club, it's hard because he's a roadblock. You have to have him in the lineup. Clogs things up. Can't do anything else other than mesh. And when he's not hitting, he's a complete zero and looks lost. Doesn't even give you a quality at bat.
Nope.
So that's the problem. And here we are in an ultimate game where he looks awful the last couple of games to the point where you're contemplating maybe not having him in the lineup. Again, I think he's going to be in there. I think it's a no-brainer at this point. But it shows you. It makes it harder then to get the other guys in, whether it's better defensive guys, guys who give you quality at bats, lefty, righty, whatever. It doesn't matter. You could have Ben Rice DH tonight. You'd feel better about his at bats.
Yeah.
Good or bad results, like at least he's going to work the count, working at bat. Then you do Giancarlo Stanton, and you could then have Goldschmidt at first and Wells catching, but you're taking the potential of Giancarlo Stanton's bat out of that line.
Understood. It's a risk that I'm willing to take. I the more I think about this, Boone's probably not going to take that risk. And I remember, too, it's ironic as we're talking about Stanton, and you mentioned Rice. The end, was it the penultimate game or was it the finale? Either way, it was right at the end of the season. And Stanton, ironically, hit like a rocket at the third baseman. I think it was Baltimore. Could have even been the White Sox, but I think it was Baltimore. And it was like a bad hop, whatever. And Ben Rice scored from first base. Now, while they're going down the line, and I remember saying to you the next day, because I think it was over the weekend, I'm like, no, it wasn't. But I remember saying the next day, Ben Rice scored from first base and it was like hit 150 miles an hour. And that was down the left field line and he was at first. So I'm not saying Ben Rice is fast, but he's a smart, good base runner. Those little things matter. Having said that, the more I think about it, you probably see Stanton tonight.
John is calling from Manalapan. What's up, John?
Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, hey.
No.
Yeah. I think there's something up with Chisholm and the Yankee management, and I'll tell you why. Throughout the season, whenever they faced the lefty, they put Rosario at third for McMahon. Chisholm played. Now all of a sudden they want to get Calabro and Rosario in the lineup. They put Rosario at second because he's 6-for-9 against Crochet.
Yep.
And Caballero's 0-for-7.
Caballero.
Which I don't know what's the... Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry. All right. So why do they bench Chisholm? And my question
let me ask you, why do you think, John?
I think there's a problem.
But you're wrong. There's not. Well, that's why I just wanted to clear
it. No,
well, why didn't Rosario play third like he always plays third? And Chisholm stays in the game.
The reason why...
We had to get Caballero in the game.
Caballero. But even worse than you butchering his name, and that's fine, is your thought on it. I'm just going to tell you, like, if you listen to Boone and you hear what he had to say, and even you shouldn't have to, but do the math. We could disagree with the decision, John, and you and I both are in agreement that we would have played Jazz. He didn't play Jazz because it's Garrett Crochet, who is as nasty a lefty as there is, and because of some of the numbers that you referenced with Rosario. That's why. It has nothing to do...
So we had to get Caballero in the game, who's 0-for-7.
Caballero! Jeez, Caballero. Such a good, nice Caballero. Name to say.
There you go. But, John, Caballero. You're missing... And thank you for the call.
You got to make the L's like a Y in Spanish. That's
Caballero.
What you're not doing.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not that he had to get him in the lineup. He felt that was a better matchup against the nasty lefty. That's it.
There's no problem between the two. They spoke about it. And I love Boone. I'll tell you. It was an old school approach. I like what Boone said yesterday. It's like, listen, guys don't have to agree with my decision. That's fine.
Right.
You know, you basically don't want a bunch of, you know, players who are like, okay, I'm not playing. I'm cool. Then you want guys to be pissed off because that shows passion. And the other thing that Jazz brings in, he's eaten to the table for this team, and they needed this, you know, an edge and some individuality and some spunk and some youthful bounce. You guys know what I'm saying. Even just the way he wears his uniform with the neon and the hat. Like, every locker room needs that. And I think his teammates love him. I think Boone really likes him. And even I heard this morning Jerry played it and it was a very honest answer by Jazz Chisholm. He says, listen, I'm a Booney guy. He said, we've had disagreements before. I did not want to play third base. He said that.
Right.
I thought it was very forthright and very smart to preemptively end any thought that there was an issue. He's playing tonight. Boone told us they're fine.
Right. I never thought there was an issue. My issue with Jazz was I thought he was just disrespectful and immature, handling it the way that he did.
Oh, at the locker?
Yeah. Not being upset for not playing, that's justifiable. Yes. Like, every player should be upset if they're not in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a way to handle that.
Yep.
You just face the camera and say, I wish I was in there from the beginning and could have helped this team win the game. Frustrating to be on the outside. Like, it's very simple. But turning your back like a baby, like, that's abnormal behavior.
Childish.
In big league locker rooms.
I agree.
We've seen plenty of guys get pissy and get ticked off, whatever. Turning your back and thumbing through the clothes in a fake way, like, that, what are you doing? And I'm not saying it was even disrespectful to Boone. It was disrespectful in general and childish and immature. That was my issue with Jess, but I never thought that there was an issue with him and the Yankees or him and Boone. Nope. That, to me, is a non-story.
No, disrespectful to the men and women who cover you that you probably had a pretty good rapport with, because Jazz seems to be a very likable type. And I would have, listen, I don't know if Jazz circled back and said, hey, my bad yesterday, guys. Not that he even really needed to, but it was fairly infantile. I think anybody that's, you know, of a certain mindset or a certain age could easily detect that that's probably not how you want to comport yourself. But we're not going to have a public stoning of Jazz Chisholm because he had a bad moment. The young man's been here for a year and a half at this point. He's made the Yankees a lot better. And Yank fans and the Yankees are lucky to have him. It's the bottom line. I mean, come on, not everything's perfect. What's the big deal?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't ask for anything much better than that. We'll do some football coming up in a little bit as we power up, as we do every Thursday at 12:40. We'll get into the Giants a little bit later on as well. I mean, if you want to Jets, we could talk some Jets BT today, tomorrow. We also have the Knicks on Abu Dhabi. The Knicks are playing in Abu Dhabi right now, taking on the Sixers. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
Not that we're going to do a lot of time. I'm just so down on the hiring of Mike Brown. I can't stand it.
You're going to get over it quick.
Yeah,
you're
maybe.
You're going to. You're going to love the offense.
I like the talent of the team.
Yeah.
Brown is everything. Again, like, I believe more in alignment with Thibodeau. Playing the guys hard, playing a lot of minutes, discipline, defense, all that stuff. Mike Brown is the exact opposite. So I understand that I have to evolve with the way the game has evolved.
Yeah.
And maybe that's going to benefit the Knicks. We'll see. I still don't believe that it's the right hire, ultimately. Even with the Knicks' talent, I still think Brown's going to get in the way, eventually, of them winning the championship.
Well, I hope that you're wrong. I do like the hire. I wish that Tom Thibodeau... I wish that maybe Brown had a little more Tibbs in him, or Tibbs had a little more Brown in him, because then we would have the perfect person. and there really is no perfect person, so we'll see what happens with Brown. Listen, I think you're going to like eventually... I think actually fairly soon... The way he's going to utilize Jalen Brunson differently, the way the bench is going to be a real asset. They brought in some guys that could fill it up. Clarkson, I don't want to get nuts on the Nick talk here on Game 3 of the Yankees, but I hear you, and you're not alone. I'm much more of a fan than you, than Brown, but I will tell you one thing I'm a little disappointed at, and I just noticed it. Can you guess?
No.
You're looking at something. Who just scored a bucket?
Karl-Anthony Towns.
Okay, yeah. It's about him.
What?
Didn't change his body at all.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't change his body at all.
Oh, it's still early.
It's early. I mean, the season starts in 3 weeks. I mean, you change your body during the offseason.
You know what I was thinking?
He's still doughy, and he's got no muscle on him.
You know what I was thinking, honestly, as I was looking at the game, but I wasn't really watching the game. I was just, like, glazing into the screen there.
Careful. That's what the kids say.
Would you ever...
That word.
What does that mean?
Glazing.
What does that mean?
Like you're
gazing is what I meant. I guess,
gazing,
right?
Is like, yeah, I love this player. Like, oh, you're glazing that guy.
It's got.
I was gazing into the screen. Is that the right word?
Yeah, to use gazing. Sure. Yeah.
Would you ever go to Abu Dhabi?
Yeah.
Yeah. You've never been, I'm assuming.
No, I haven't.
Now, where is Abu Dhabi?
I don't know.
It's in the Middle East.
Is it in Dubai?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Dubai.
It's in Dubai.
UAE.
I don't know what that means.
That's a country. United Arab Emirates.
Yeah, Emirates.
Wait, say that.
UAE.
Is a country?
Yeah.
United. I've never heard of that
be fun.
No, Dubai is big time money, beautiful golf. Yeah. Tiger's got a lot of stuff going out there. Tiger Woods, Dubai is gorgeous.
I've heard it's
gorgeous.
Beautiful. I know, but would you actually go?
Like, no, I'm never going to wind up going unless somebody invited me.
I'm
not going to go there.
It's a long flight.
Yep.
You know.
I'd almost rather go to Australia. It's probably about the same probably the same distance.
I've heard great things about that.
Yeah, Australia.
I mean, Dubai, Abu Dhabi. It's fun to say for me. Like, I don't know why. I love saying Abu Dhabi.
Okay.
But I don't know if I would actually, and I would, like, if it were a 5-minute drive, I'd be like, yeah, let's check out Abu Dhabi, sure, or Dubai. But going all that way.
How long is it?
How long? I don't know. That's a long.
Probably about 12 hours.
Well, don't guess. You have no idea. Yeah,
Well, first of all, I do a little bit because UFC went during COVID. That was one of the places they were able to go to.
In Abu Dhabi?
Yeah, in Abu Dhabi. They had a bubble, and they kind of made a little town for all the people in Abu Dhabi to go out there and like have like a little village for UFC fighters and whatnot, and they had a bubble for the fighters.
How far, Alex?
So I went 14 to Qatar hours. For the World Cup.
I said 12. Okay. I was so same. Close.
It's you were 12. Close.
Yeah.
Okay, you went to isn't it Qatar? Isn't that how they say it?
Yes.
Qatar.
Yeah. No, it's Qatar.
That's what Americans say.
It's Qatar.
No, that's a pitch in baseball.
Yeah.
No, it is. So wait, you went there? And how long a flight is that?
It was 12 hours.
Yeah. This is 14 hours to go to Abu Dhabi.
We actually have friends. My wife and I have friends that she went to school with and kind of grew up with that live in Qatar.
Well, take them up.
Yeah, well, no. They invited us. They're begging us to go there.
Probably loaded, too. And probably got some money. Probably got a nice spread.
It's very nice.
Qatar. Like, I'm not going there.
Yeah, I know.
What, are you crazy?
I know.
And I don't even want to leave the state. Barely.
Come on.
It's very hot there, from what I understand.
Yeah.
When UFC had their bubble, the AC wasn't working, and everyone was like, dude, it was like 120 degrees in the bubble.
So if I went to Dubai, can I go to Abu Dhabi? Like, is it?
Yeah, it's right now. It's like an hour away from you.
Yeah, it's like going to, here to Philly.
Okay.
You can do it.
All right, that's not bad.
Yeah, where you chase Utley jersey?
Just getting there's a problem. BT and Sal all the bay. Let's get back to the Yankees, who are playing in the Bronx tonight.
Yes.
Dom is calling from Westport. What's up, Dom?
Hey, what's up, guys? Great show, as always.
Thanks,
really
Dom.
Love it.
Thank you.
Want to bring up a point on the Rice DHing and having Goldie at DH. I think you can't have Stanton in there. He's swinging like he's a rusty gate. I don't know if it's the elbow. And one thing, Sal, if you put Rice at DH and something happens to Wells, then you lose the DH. And I don't want JC Ascara in this game behind the plate.
Well, but you said you would have Stanton out. I said I would have Rice tonight. I would have Rice playing first base and have Wells in there. I think they're going to have Rice catching and have Goldie at first base. I would not have anybody out at DH other than Stanton tonight.
Oh, right. And I disagree with you. I agree with BT on that because, I mean, he's just swinging like a rusty gate. He can't do anything. He doesn't advance runners. He can't run the bases.
But even a rusty gate could smack you in the face, Dom, and thank you for the call. And that's what the Yankees are hoping, especially against a lefty. I think you'd have more of an argument if it were a righty in there.
Mm-hmm.
This is back to the conversation that was a large portion of the regular season, the roster construction. Some can say, well, it's great. They have a lot of different options. Others can say, yeah, but it's because one guy can't do one thing, another guy can't do another thing, whether it's inability to hit lefties, whether it's the inability to have a position. Like, Ben Rice doesn't have a position. That's the problem. But his bat is the second best bat on the team. Giancarlo Stanton has maybe the biggest threat of a bat behind those two guys, but he can't do anything other than DH. So those are two of your top bats, top three, top five, whatever, don't have a position in the field. That's a problem.
And you're a couple of years away from Judge moving into that territory as well. That's not a problem today, but it's a consideration down the road. Now, at that point, Stanton's gone. I think there's a very good chance that both Wells and Rice will be here in a couple of years. I think the Yankees, you have to love Rice, and I think they really like Wells. But no, they have, that's why we've destroyed Cashman, and this is the first time, in my opinion, that he's done an amazing job. Especially during the season where he kind of recreated things, getting a third baseman who could catch it, getting some righty depth. And the Yankees bench has been so weak. And think about some of these previous teams, and not even last year, the team that got to the World Series. We couldn't really have these discussions about, well, who should you play at third? Who should play at first? Who should DH? Because they had a dearth of options. Like they went from having no options to, All right, it makes it complicated in the eyes of some, but options are good. You just got to hit the right buttons as you apply them.
Nick is calling from Middle Village. What's up, Nick?
Yes, there's definitely some tough decisions tonight, but I'll tell you one thing. One that's not going to be tough is don't put Weaver in. I don't care if it's a 10-0 lead. We go using him in game one if we advance. But I just wanted one thing before I leave. Did you see that post-game interview in game one with Weaver?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
He sounded like a beaten guy. He was like, I pitched well, competitive. Oh, my God.
I didn't think he sounded like a beaten guy, Nick. I thought he sounded like somebody who just wasn't very good at self-assessing because he was terrible. That bothered me. I said that to Sal. We didn't get too much into it, but I did not like that press conference.
Yeah. I just wouldn't put him in, guys. But anyway, great show. Thank you.
Thank you for making the call, Nick. I think you're going to see Weaver tonight at some point.
You might.
I mean, unless you think... How many do you think Schlittler is going to give you?
I mean, I think if he's on, I think Cam could get you into the seventh inning with an out or so. I think he's terrific.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. He's gone seven innings exactly once in his career, and that was the last time out.
When was the last time he pitched? What was the actual day?
Louis Heald threw the regular season. So when
was
that?
What day was that?
Was that the final game of the year?
No. Louis Heald got the last start. Did he pitch Saturday or Friday?
It was Saturday.
Okay, so he pitched Saturday, so yeah. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, not as much as you thought.
But not even that. Like, he just 5 1/3, 5 4 1/3, 5 5 5, 6 2/3, 6 6, 1 2/3, 6 4 2/3, 5 1/3. Like, I think and then 7. I think you're looking at 5 or 6 innings here. Just based on, it's not a knock on him. It's just, that's what he's done.
Like, I thought there was one or two more in there where he got a little bit deeper. That's, as I hear those, I'm actually a little bit surprised. I mean, because, you know, the thing about watching Schlittler, and he's had like a few starts, and one he just had an awful start where he didn't even make it out of the first inning. I mean, that was just an anomaly. But even when he's on, he generally has, and he's on a lot, generally has one inning where he gets a little wild. So you watch him for an hour and a half to 2 hours, you're like, God, this guy's filthy. But then that one inning usually does prevent him from the depth that hopefully, you know, he gets as he gets older as a pitcher.
Yeah, BT and Sal on the fan. Anthony calling from Westchester. What's up, Ant? What's up, man?
What's up, guys? I feel like I'm Robert De Niro in Goodfellas. What's going on in this world? Because I'm agreeing with Sal and not BT. Guys, we're overthinking this lineup. Stanton has to play. Everyone who's saying he's flailing, he can't hit this, can't hit that, are they actually watching the games?
Yeah.
He's not flailing like he has been.
Looks terrible.
He's actually making contact. He doesn't. He's burying the ball into the ground.
And
he's still hitting the ball over 100 miles an hour.
Okay, well, and
you cannot.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, finish up. Good. Let it go. Go ahead. I'm listening.
To me, it doesn't do you any good to put Goldie at first and Rice at DH. One, because it eliminates anything in the back end of the game when you want to try to pull guys off the bench.
That's fair.
Two, Goldie over the last 7 weeks has 9 hits, including the 2 in game one, off left-handed pitching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying Goldie is done. I'm not saying he's not useful in the field.
Yep.
But we've seen what Stanton can do in the postseason, and offensively, he's not that lost. Game one against Chapman, that first foul ball that he barely swung the bat at, that screwed up the entire at-bat.
Correct.
He just missed the fastball. Okay, he flailed at a 92-mile-an-hour splitter up in the zone.
Yep.
But I want to see how many guys are actually going to make contact with that after seeing 101 in on their letter.
But
to me, Stanton gives you your best at-bat.
Listen, you break it down intelligently because that's exactly what happened. So I respect where you're coming from because he did flail at the splitter. It was nasty. He was taken by surprise. But when you're in a zone as a hitter, you've got to identify that. And when you're not in a zone, that's when you flail. And I even more egregious. Now, again, at the end of the day, he's probably playing tonight. I have made the argument to not play him, but that's fine. But the check swing, you only take a check swing like when you're fooled. Like when you don't, when you commit like 10%, you're like, oh, that I didn't expect that. And then you factor in that he missed a splitter by 3 feet. He's not seeing the ball well, and he's not elevating the ball. I'm just pointing out what he's seeing. You think he's hitting the ball. You think he looks good. I don't. I don't know what to say. I don't think he looks good.
I would have been curious what Nick said the rest of it. Like, to me, I wasn't even thinking the Stanton thing until you brought it up, especially against the lefty. But to me, the interesting part is going to be how they work Rice in and who they decide to put out. Is it going to be Goldschmidt out against the lefty, or is it going to be Austin Wells out with Rice catching? Andy Martino seems to think that Wells is going to be catching. Rice will be at first base.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that's what I would do. I'm not so sure they're going to do that. I get the feeling that they're going to value I mean, saying how much they love Ben Rice at catcher, I mean, that was told to me flat out how much they love. Now what? So in a game now, you're going to say, well, Wells is the better game caller. Yeah, but all year long, you're trying to shove Ben Rice down our throats at catcher while I was saying he's not a catcher. I would rather see Rice at first, Wells at catcher, just like we saw last night. I don't care about the lefty. But I still believe, because they got to get Rice is bad in the lineup, I still believe they love Goldschmidt against lefties and value his defense there.
Yeah, he's a terrific fielder. Again, Ben Rice is not making that play the other night when he throws to Fried covering first. But I also think that when you were told that they love Rice as a catcher, think about when you were told that, right? So, number one, Wells wasn't hitting much, okay?
Yeah.
And
all right, but if you love him as a catcher, you love him as a catcher.
No, I understand
and
that.
Specific to him calling a game.
I know. No, and his framing is, I think it's fifth or sixth in baseball. Like, there are tangible things that say that Austin Wells is a superior defensive catcher to Ben Rice. I think it's also them not saying to you, like, Ben Rice is awful at first base and he's competent behind the plate. Like, and again, that was a little convoluted. I guess what I'm really saying is, do they like Ben Rice as a catcher because he's a good catcher, or did they like him as a catcher because he's just horrendous at first
as a catcher? I believe they like Ben Rice as a catcher. So we're going to find out tonight just how much.
He's not playing catcher tonight. There's no way he's playing catcher.
He's got to be in the lineup, so yeah. We'll see. I mean, he'd be the first or catcher. And then that means Austin Wells is going to be your everyday regular catcher throughout the postseason then.
Yeah, which I'm okay with. Yeah. Okay. Which I'm okay with. But again, with as long too. As Ben Rice isn't nailed to the bench, as long as he's playing first or DHing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll give you the top five most powerful teams in the NFL right now. I actually had a hard time this week. It speaks to the parity of the league that I had a hard time coming up with teams number four and number five. Be curious to see where you're at after this past week, week four. I'll start us off here. Number five for me, I got the Denver Broncos.
Oh, wow.
I think the Broncos, even though they're 2-2, see, this is not something. Now, they're atop the AFC West along with the Chiefs. They're both tied there. But just watching them on a weekly basis, you know, they've lost a couple of tight games, whatever. The Colts game, they still should have won that game. Chargers, they lost a tight game. I think the Broncos are starting to get better as the year goes on. Their defense is, I know it was against the Bengals in a crappy backup quarterback situation. They're dominant, and they've got weapons all over the place offensively. I trust the head coach. I think they're going to end up being higher than number five, but right now I have the Broncos as the fifth best team in the league.
Wow, surprise. I don't have them. Interesting pick. I mean, this was a little bit tough for me as well, the first couple of slots here, because, I mean, no disrespect to the Giants, but the Chargers have to get penalized for losing 100%. That. Green Bay's got to get a little penalized. I'm going to go Kansas City. I'm going with the same division. Now, we know that Worthy is back. Rice is coming back, receiver in week seven. And they're 2-2. But they're also far from complete. That's why I tell you they're getting a couple of guys back, one of which already is back, I should say. And they've got to get more from the running game. Mahomes leads the team with 130 yards on the ground, which is not a recipe for them to be as good as they could be. But the coach, the quarterback, the pedigree, guys coming back, KC number five for me.
I have them at number four. And I don't think I've had them on my list before this, but they have to be up there. Their defense, you could tell they've now started to turn the corner a little bit. You mentioned guys getting healthy, but also just playing well. I mean, they basically dismantled the Ravens here past weekend. I was surprised. I know Lamar got banged up, but even before that, the Chiefs had that game well in hand. And just looking around the league, like, I don't see anybody, and I give them the advantage over Denver because they're the Chiefs, of course. Denver's got to prove themselves a little bit more. You could make the argument that Denver could be ahead of Kansas City. I'm going to just favor the Chiefs based on their pedigree, based on Mahomes being certainly better than Bo Nix at the very least. So for now, I wanted them in my top five. I put them one slot in front of the Denver Broncos at four.
Okay, I'm going to give this team some love that I do not think had a lot of love coming into the season. They were probably thought to be the second, maybe the third best team in this division. Talking about the NFC West, I'm going to go with the Rams here. I got the Rams now. And listen, I don't think the Colts, even though they won their first couple of games, are going to be a 12 or 13 win juggernaut here. But it was a good solid win. Good little test there. Nacua was ridiculous. 13 receptions for a $170. Now, doing a little digging here. And I love Stafford and I love the coach as well. They've got to get better on third down conversions. Again, this is a little bit of a deeper dive, whatever. All right, they're 14th in the NFL. If they could get, even if it's the back end of the top 10, I think the Rams could stay here all year. The Niners are banged up. Seattle's not that good. Do you really believe the Cardinals? I got some love for the Rams, number four.
Yeah, I like that. I think you had them on there last week as well, which was a good pick. I had the Niners on there. They're knocked off. They're banged up all over the place. I definitely could see the Rams. They were maybe one team that just missed the cut. The other three, I'm pretty sure, are going to be the exact same as I had last week. I'm going to go with the Eagles, number three. Hard to move them down. I'm not moving them up just yet. I know they're 4-0, undefeated, reigning Super Bowl champ. It just hasn't been as dominant as I like. When you talk about power rankings for me, I need to see some sort of dominance. They continue to win games, sure. I'm not seeing enough dominance to have them over my top two teams, so I have the Eagles, who I know were your number one last week. I have them at my number three.
Well, I know you love the team I'm getting to now. I got Detroit number three, and Detroit, it's funny because we thought they'd be, I remember we talked about this with Francesa the day we played golf. He was down on them, so were we. A couple of offensive linemen gone, a couple of coaches gone. Although I'm watching the Jets, so what, did Aaron Glenn even do anything out there in Detroit? Jeez. The fact that they got blown out in week one was like, whoa, geez, maybe everybody's kind of right about this team. But they came, and I know the Browns aren't good, but they came back, they laid it on them, and was it 34 or 40 to 10, whatever. They beat them up pretty good here. So Detroit is clearly one of the best teams in football. And, you know, I think that they could rise a spot before it's all said and done, but I'm going to keep them at three for me.
Yeah, number two for me is the Bills. Again, it's hard to knock the Bills. Some would maybe have them number one. You look at the AFC, they have been the most dominant team. They're 4-0. They've got the best superstar quarterback. They've got a head coach who's been experienced and have had some success. If this is not the year for the Bills to get to the Super Bowl, when is? The Ravens are now toast. They're 1-3 without Lamar Jackson. The Chiefs aren't the Chiefs. The Chargers are beatable. Broncos are beatable. I mean, the Colts have Daniel Jones, for goodness sake. Even Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars, yeah, they're good, but they're not unbeatable. Nobody in the North now with Burrow out of the way. We mentioned Lamar Jackson. Steelers are good, but they're not that good. Like, it's this is the Bills conference to lose. I have the Bills at number two.
They're good, man. I've said it before. I wish I was a Bills fan. I just love everything about them. I love their quarterback. Their fan base is nuts. They've definitely got the best quarterback running back combo in football with Allen and Cook. Now, again, it's early, so you kind of grade the aesthetics here. I could easily have them one. You know, I don't love the fact that they didn't blow out Miami. Yep. I don't love the fact that this, but I don't, really don't love the fact that they didn't cover against New Orleans.
Right.
I bet that they would. But they beat them, so they didn't lay them out. And they have had some quarters. They usually start well, finish well, but they've had some, like, the meat of the games, second and third quarters. They've been a little flat in some instances, but I love Josh Allen, and I like McDermott. I don't love him. I like him, but the Bills to me are, you're right, they're the best team in the AFC, there's no doubt.
Yeah, and they have had a soft schedule here to start, so I understand that, and maybe that's why I just feel like the Lions are tougher, even though the Lions haven't played a tremendously tough schedule. Yes, Packers better. Ravens, week one for the Bills. Jets, obviously, week two. Dolphins, Saints, and you say what you will, yeah, they didn't cover against Miami. I don't think they covered.
They didn't cover against the Saints either.
They definitely didn't cover against the Saints.
Miami.
And now coming up, they got the Patriots this week.
The Patriots look pretty good.
I'm curious
where they're going to go.
I mean, still at home, Buffalo's got to win at the Falcons, at Carolina, yeah. Then Kansas City, the Dolphins. Like, I mean, the Bills are going to go on. I would expect the Bills to go on some sort of run here, but I have them at number two, and you mentioned it before. Same team as last week. That was my number one team. I think the Detroit Lions are the best team in the NFL. They've got the defense to go along with that offense that cannot be stopped now. Looking forward to seeing what they could do moving forward here, but they're 3-1 in control in the NFC North. They're going to smoke the Bengals, you would think, this week with no Joe Burrow. They're lifeless. Chiefs, that'll be a fun game at Kansas City, Sunday Night Football in a couple weeks. I just think right now the Lions, the coach is hungry, coming off a disappointing year. Will people, to your point, counting them down a little bit, losing all the coaches that they have? I think the Lions are the best team in the NFL.
They might be. I'm going to stay with Philly here, though. I'm going to reward the champ here for having no blemishes yet. And by the way, they beat three pretty good teams. Some of these teams have gotten fat on bad teams. Mm. The Eagles have beaten some pretty good teams. Tampa Bay was an intriguing team. Now, they didn't crush them, but they won the game. Now, there's also a blossoming issue with their passing game here. You know, they didn't complete a pass in the second half?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, I get it.
They don't throw A.J. Brown the ball. Look, they're great. I get it. They keep winning, which is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are some issues.
There are. But I also think that there's issues probably with every team, maybe with the exception of the Bills. Like, if the... Yeah, I mean, if the Eagles would have lost last week, I'd have the Bills 1, I'd have the Eagles 2, maybe even the Eagles 3, and maybe move up Detroit to 2. These are all interchangeable. One thing I feel pretty good about, certainly the top three teams for me, Philly, Buffalo, Detroit, they're not going anywhere this year. I do think that the Rams, who I have at 4, are going to be legit and probably win that division. And KC at number 5, I've just got great faith in them to remain in the picks in the mix as well.
4 of our 5 are the same. I just have the Broncos in place of the Rams. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.